Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I play pitcher, shortstop, third base, and center field.
Those are the prime positions.
That's what I'm trying to tell you.
It's time for your Sunrise Guys, Dirt and Sprague.
Yeah, you were the best player on your team.
Yes, then we talking.
More Dirt and Sprague.
Straight cleanup on aisle three. Come get it.
Sounds like you're just an athlete.
Yeah.
Andy Dirt Johnson, Brandon Sprague.
Ping pong, baseball, football, basketball.
Tennis, swimming. Lacrosse, whatever you need me to play, I'm going to go do it.
Dirt and Sprague on the Fan Sports Network.
Hockey.
Whatever, on the rink, whatever you need me to do, it don't matter.
Hey, welcome back in. Hour number three, Dirt and Sprague here, Portland sports leader, 105.1 FM, The Fan, Fan Sports Network, Odyssey app, YouTube. What's up, everybody? Happy Tuesday. I have not heard from anybody that is going to the game yet, but my buddy Big Dave did text me. Because he's a duck that will go to, like, every road game that he possibly can, but he's got a new kid, so he's not going to this one.
Oh, he's also a super rich, so he goes to a lot
of
stuff.
Dude, just loaded. Yeah. He's a billionaire. His dad's actually played Augusta, too. One of the coolest stories I've ever heard.
I'm kind of being serious. I know he's going to text back and say, no, I'm not. I see you, Dave. Going to Maui. He's loaded, you're living first class.
He's loaded. And he said he looked into it, that it's actually, because you got to fly into Philly or Pittsburgh to go. And it's at least a 3+ hour drive just to get to State College, because I think the only planes that can land in State College are PJs.
Well, and remember, Franklin has openly asked for an airport to be built.
Yeah, dude.
As if that's just not expensive at all.
Right. So I guess there's some similarities there. I don't know how many flights for people around the country coming to Duck Games fly into Eugene. I know the Eugene airport has grown over the years, and it's easier to get flights in there. But
I think far more teams are flying into Eugene.
Without
nowadays,
a doubt. Yeah. I'm just saying for fans in general, like there's some of that with Oregon. If you come, I think a lot of people fly into Portland and then drive down to Eugene probably to go to a Duck Game if you're visiting. Depends on how long you're in town for, but that just adds a whole another wrinkle to the journey and trying to get to the stadium, because a 3-hour drive on top of it's not easy to do. Your team plays on Friday night, Bob.
Yep.
The Cougs are in town.
We're going to play Cougs three times
this
year.
You got three Cougs on your schedule.
Yes, we
do. Are we missing any Cougs? Are there any other Cougs on there that we're not aware of?
Is Lafayette a Cougar?
What's the Lafayette mascot?
I don't know.
We got to look up the Lafayette mascot. By the way, one quick Beaver note, their game against Appalachian State kick time got announced. It will be on ESPN Plus. It's an ESPN Plus game.
What time's the kick?
I think it's 12:30 local time. Let me double check that. Our buddy Ryan Clark at the Oregonian.
Can't wait to watch an ESPN Plus football game. That's stellar.
Can you go back and watch an ESPN Plus game after it's happened?
I think they.
I think they keep it up there.
Put them up in
hours.
A library for a short period of time. You can't go back like indefinitely, but
okay, probably like later that day.
Like if you went back later the day or Sunday or something, you could.
Yeah,
probably
it's a 12:30 kick on ESPN Plus Saturday, October 4th. That's their next game. It's on the road at Appalachian State.
Anybody else looked at that back in the schedule, because fans have told themselves that they're great and they can still be a 7-win team or better. And, like, reevaluated how they feel about some of those teams. Like, Tulsa just won at Oklahoma State. Wake Forest was holding a lead against NC State.
Wake Forest has not been a dumpster this year. Like, they've been somewhat competitive.
Washington State just showed me they can score on a Husky defense, so that definitely means they can score on an Oregon State defense.
And maybe have found a quarterback. And last time we saw Houston, they lit up Colorado at home.
And App State might be playing for Sean Clark. I have no idea if App State is any good. R.I.P. Sean Clark.
Yeah.
But my point is, like, I don't look at that schedule now and go, oh, those are wins, the way that we might have done that preseason.
Yeah. Well, your coach talked yesterday about the game on Friday night, and he echoed the sentiment from the post game Saturday, saying, hey, that We can do more of that.
I've kind of said it. They've been great as far as the way they come out to work, the way they show up to meetings. There's no one's, you know, pouting or hanging their head or anything like that. So I feel good about the work they're doing. You know, just we understand, you know, we've done some things self-destruction wise that have led to our situation. So we're part of that. We got to fix that, continue to improve in that, and then really build off, you know, that first half of Oregon. You know, I said it after the game, but you're right there with that team. That's one of the top teams in the country. That's what we're capable of doing, and we got to do it for four quarters.
That's what they're capable of being. They just got to bottle that up and do it for four quarters on Friday night.
Because they turned Oregon over on downs and had a punt in back-to-back Oregon possessions.
They did, yeah.
I just want to note for the record, after they scored the touchdown in the first quarter to tie it at 7, their second quarter was 28 total yards of offense.
Yeah.
Oregon went into the half up 2 scores.
They had 3 first downs the rest of the game.
The idea, again, and I said this yesterday, so I don't want to stick on it, but the idea that you had an entire first half to point to is laughably an egregious lie. You had 1.1 quarters of football you could point to, if that.
The reason that it was interesting to me that he said that, and I, you know, look, what's
2 yards in your very first possession.
Yeah, they went 3 and out right out of the gate, and then no other offensive drives really made any noise the rest of the game outside of the one scoring drive that they had.
But in your 4 of your 5 possessions, you had 30 total yards.
Yes.
In the first half.
Yeah.
But that's who you can be.
That's who they can be.
Yeah.
It also was, it kind of rung hollow. And I, you know, look, what do you want Trent Bray to say at this point? We suck. Our season's over. We're not going to win a game. Like, he's got to try and find things and ways to be positive. But in the same press conference, he had a line where he basically was asked, what does a good Friday night look for you? And I didn't pull it because it wasn't a very long answer. But he was at, what does a successful Friday night look like? And he said, well, winning is the only thing that matters. We're not into moral victories. And that was on the heels of this comment where he's saying, you know, that first half and the way that we moved it. And it's like you're kind of talking out of both sides of your mouth at this point. On the note of pressure for Friday, I'm not quite sure what the crowd's going to look like. It is a weeknight game. It's a 7:30 kick on a Friday night. So it's not like it's a, you know, Friday late evening game that kicks at 5. It's a late one on Friday night. Here he is asked about the pressure to get a win on Friday night at home.
I mean, getting a win is pivotal regardless, yeah. I mean, a short week, bounce back. I mean, there's some positives to that, too. You're not sitting around for a whole nother day thinking about what just happened at Oregon. So you can move on to the next opponent. But it's going to be important that we come out and rebound and play well.
I mean, I can't speak to it. I've never been a football coach, especially at that level. I've never played college football. What I would say, too, is maybe he's right, but their problem isn't about dwelling. It's about executing.
Yeah.
So you can dwell on something for an extra day or not dwell on it for the extra day. Can you execute? And right now, the offense cannot execute. It's one of the 5 worst offenses in the FBS. And I'm just not somebody who is going to, like, the defense has had moments here and there throughout the season in different games. I also saw the defense against Texas Tech, and it looked like a unit that didn't try. So
yeah, and a lot of those long down and distance situations.
I don't know. I watched his press conference. I watched Lanning's press conference. Lanning's giving us nothing this week. It's going to be short answers and on to Penn State.
Yeah.
Let his guys do the talking for him is where he's at.
He's in game mode.
And Bray's never really been great with the media. It's not one of his specialties. He coaches defense, and you can hear it. And so, like, his answers, I don't need you to lie to me, because you say, and I think it's fair to say this, like, what do you want to say? I think you can say things without needing to lie. We all have eyeballs. We all watched the first half. I thought if you had a rational takeaway, it should have been, they're down 2 scores against a team sleepwalking, and you have 30 yards of offense sans 1 drive.
Yeah.
Not great, Bob. How you respond against Houston? Maybe Houston has a look-ahead line because they got Texas Tech next week.
They'll jump up and get somebody at some point. Remember, we gave up on them last year when they got shut out by Air Force, and then they somehow beat the Cougs at the end of the year. And it wasn't like the Cougs were a great team, but they won that game, and nobody gave them a chance to do it.
Yeah, I'm not saying they're going to go winless. Right. I do expect them to get a win or a few, but I also don't share the optimism or there's things to point to and highlight going in. Are you going to show up and execute and play well at home? You're a 12-plus point underdog at home.
They started the year as a favorite against Cal in their first game of the season.
They were favorites in their first 2 games, yeah. Fresno State at home and Cal at home. They lost both outright. So I don't really care about the favorite underdog thing. Are you just going to show up and execute and show some semblance of something, because right now you don't have a whole lot to point to.
Their rushing offense right now at this point in the season is 133rd in the country, averaging 70 yards per game. The only three teams worse than them, Middle Tennessee State
yep.
is 134th. The Cougs, 135th. The Cougs do have a worse rushing offense than you. And then New Mexico State is dead last.
They don't run the ball at Washington
State. No, they don't really try to. They try and sling it around. Their quarterback can run it a little bit. I also just had the thought, and you know, I'm going to get to some other audio from a rivalry game this weekend and a coach making an apology. That I'm wondering, you know, was it necessary? Did we like that he apologized?
You want to know how bad things are at Clemson?
Yeah.
Oregon State's passing offense is better than Clemson's.
Yeesh. That tells you all you need to know about how ugly things are. And they just had a game where their starting quarterback was like 4 of 18 going into the fourth quarter or whatever Malik Murphy was. I'll reiterate something that I said a week or two ago. I wanted to pull the entirety of it, but it was almost too long and it was hard to figure out where to snip it. But Jimmy Rogers, the head coach at Washington State, had a very long answer yesterday at his press conference about what Saturday night meant to them and the environment in the stands and how much his team loved the atmosphere and running onto the field. And I think you can make an argument. Now, part of it's just the rivalry game. Maybe part of it was Washington looking ahead. The Cougs, I think, played their best game of the year, and that's as a team who won a game earlier. But that was unquestionably the stiffest competition that they have faced. And they hung around in that game for three quarters, made some explosive plays on offense. Like, they were flying around. And so His whole talking point was like, man, this is what I envisioned the atmosphere in the stadium looking like when I took over the job. This is a huge deal when we have recruits come to town, when our players are trying to get amped up. It is so much easier to sell the vision to kids you're trying to convince to commit and your players to play with their hair on fire when they run onto the field for warmups and the stadium's full and there's juice in the building. And he said he hopes that they can continue that. But he also said, I understand that our play is going to lead to people wanting to or not wanting to come. That it's a total, like, I'm not criticizing anybody who doesn't want to go. It's a 7:30 on a Friday night. This is more of a criticism for me of, and if anybody has numbers on it, I'd love to have them, like, how the universities are not doing more in terms of the athletic department strategizing. How do we get more people in here? How do we come up with ticket? Like, can we give away tickets? Do we give away dollar tickets?
That's if you're not gonna happen.
Why not? Why can it not happen? Like, because you, how because many people are going to be there on Friday night?
I don't know, but you've heard what they've said publicly. I mean, I pointed this out yesterday. Go find the Texas Tech post-game video press conference of Trent Brader. Look it up.
You can't find it.
It's 2025.
You can't find it. It doesn't exist.
How does New Mexico and Jason Eck have a cell phone video exist post-game? And Oregon State doesn't even care. I don't even know if they put up one from the Oregon game.
They did not. I have not found
and
it.
And Oregon at we least houses you site. With actual,
yep.
you know, facilities to do a post-game press conference. And you had your background and a microphone. It's 2025.
Yep.
I don't care how bad it is. You've got to have video. It's how people watch stuff.
It's my larger point of, like, Arizona State, and I used this analogy a couple weeks ago. Like, they did a thing in their opening game of the year against Northern Arizona. They gave every season ticket holder 4 free tickets to give away. 4. Just here you go. You can do, like, there are things that you can do to entice people to come to games, because right now the play on the field is not doing it. And it's one of the biggest fears that I have for both of them is that what Washington State had this weekend, it looked like a great atmosphere in Pullman. Mm-hmm. Is that going to happen the rest of the season? Probably not.
I would hope the performance and the effort lends itself to fans
people
saying, hey, how about that? Maybe we're going to be a 7-8 win team this year.
I would love to see that. I'm not buying it because there weren't a lot of people at their first couple of games, but maybe that's going to entice people to come. To me, it's the next domino that falls of how much money are you losing in terms of lack of people going. And this is a Friday game at 7:30. If you got kids in high school who are playing high school football, you're certainly not going to be going to the game.
No.
If you can't get the day off work or can't get out of work early or you work till 6, like, do you want to drive down to Corvallis at 6 o'clock and maybe get there at the end of the first quarter? It's not an easy thing to pull off for everybody. And so this would be the thing that I would be screaming about most, and I know that you are because of the video stuff, and just it makes you look like an amateur operation.
Their whole operation is amateur.
Of just doing anything and everything that you can to get people in your stadium, because it's one of the biggest things that will sell recruits, it will get your players juice. There was a quote from Trent Walker a week or two ago where he talked about the Fresno State game and how depressing it was running onto the field in front of a quarter full stadium.
Yeah.
He was like, yeah, man, I played here in sellouts when this crowd, we bragged about having Caleb Williams in a blender with half of a stadium.
I was at
3 years ago.
Coincidentally, UW's win Saturday was their first road win since I went to the UW Oregon State
game. In the rainstorm.
Yeah. With a Husky fan pissing on the concourse.
Yes, where they hiked the ball over the punter's head, or else they would have beat the Huskies that year.
That place was
packed. This is a great atmosphere. It can be a great atmosphere.
Electric.
And again, I'm not blaming fans for saying, why would I spend money on a ticket to go watch this team play? I don't blame anybody for that. This is where it's more of like, there's got to be somebody in that athletic department doing something to get butts in the seats.
It's very funny. There are seats in certain sections of the upper bowl that can go for 100 each. And there's also, I'm looking at end zone section tickets right now, $13.
Yeah. I do it like a Twitter giveaway. First 10,000 people that like this tweet get a free ticket to the game.
I mean,
just anything
you're
you
literally
can.
In this ticket, you're like 9 rows up from the back of an end zone, and your ticket is $13.
Yeah, so you can get
in
for
cheap. Don't know if you can go much cheaper than that.
Free's cheaper than $13.
You're not wrong, but yeah, I don't know, man. I certainly understand.
It's my big
everything.
Fear for Friday because I think the fan apathy is definitely there. The outspoken people on social media are one thing.
What channel is this game on again?
It's an ESPN game.
ESPN, that's right.
And it's a 7:30 kick.
Yeah.
What's the over under on the attendance?
It's a 36,000 seat stadium, I think, roughly.
Do they get 20K in there on Friday night?
I'm guessing it'll be mostly students.
And it's a Friday. Will the student section be filled?
Yeah, I think it will be.
Now, they might bail at halftime, but
they're teaching the students, the new students, how to do the OSU chants.
I hope that they go. Every student, I get pissed when Oregon student section isn't full. It wasn't full at the start of the game on Saturday. Get your ass in the seats.
They were 0-1 and they had a quarter of the stadium. So, like, what's 0-4? But what's 0-4?
And I know the students weren't there, but still, that's, yeah.
Because for a lot of people, especially if you like to have a couple beverages, we're all of a certain age.
Yeah.
That getting home at 1 a.m., it'll wreck your Saturday. Like, you'll be Saturday, be like 10 a.m., be like, oh, my God.
You'd be a little groggy.
I need to wake up. I need to get going. Like, yeah, there's people to take that into account as well. I don't know if there'll be that many.
So, Bray asks, answers pressure and just they got to bottle up what they did in the first half against Oregon in the Civil War. Some more college football audio to get to. One coach apologizing wasn't necessary. Also, this guy's still involved with the university, and he is not happy with the fan base of that team. We'll get to those coming up next. 105.1 FM, The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, a couple listeners chiming in.
Yeah, we got some results on the Penn State trip.
One has not given me the price tag. I did a follow-up, but he said, Dirt, I'm going to the game, flying into Chicago for two Cubs games, flying from there to State College, I think is what he's saying.
Yeah.
Then Philadelphia Sunday for the Phillies game. You imagine that? That's a hell of a week right there. You get two Cub games. If you're going that far, you might as well tie other things into it.
Time out. Go ahead.
He said you can fly into State College on United from Chicago or from Philly on American. But I'm asking him his price tag. He didn't give me a price tag.
That's fine.
There's another one that gave us a price tag, and they said $10,000 for flights and tickets flying into State College on United from Chicago. So I guess you can fly into State College, $10,000. I'm curious how many people are going with you.
Probably regional jets. It's like flying something smaller if you're going to like
you're probably
Spokane
borrowing
or
yeah, it's probably
Boise
either one of those propeller planes or you're jumping
on Chicago.
Onto a
PJ. How long is the flight from Chicago to State College?
Probably 2 hours.
2 hour flight.
That area is way smaller than you know.
And they're saying these are United flights, so I think they're full size birds.
Well, let's do first round of applause. 10,000. Congratulations. You're doing really well in your life. I'm happy for you. Somebody DM'd us. How about this one?
What
I think
we got?
You've been one-upped.
What do we got?
Flying to New York City today.
Okay.
To hit Ryder Cup Thursday, Friday.
You son of a bitch.
Wow.
No, get him out. Get him out. Block him on Twitter. Block him on Twitter.
And then hit the 4-hour drive to State College with
God, that's the way to
and
do
his
it.
Brothers. I said, that's a once-in-a-lifetime trip. Do you mind ballparking how much that's roughly going to be per person. He hasn't responded.
Okay.
And then one of our listeners, Julie, says, flying to Harrisburg, 86.2 miles to Happy Valley.
Oh, okay. That's not too bad. No. Not terrible. Somebody said they're going to Iowa. The Iowa game in November. Family of three. Hotel, airfare, game tickets already in for over $3,000 without buying food and drink.
So $3,000.
That's
for
the Iowa game for okay. the collective. So that's not even the Penn State game. That's just what. It's just insane how much it costs. You know, it's just it's wild. But yeah, that would to tie Ryder Cup in.
Oh my. That's a once in a lifetime trip that you're going to go on that with your dad and your brother.
I'm rubbing my nipples over here.
But you're not going.
No, I'm not going.
You got to go to the Masters.
Where's the next?
You don't get to complain.
American Ryder Cup. I have that in my notes today. We'll see if we can talk about it.
Let me double check.
Bandon
I think
Dunes?
It's at Medina.
Dude,
oh,
Bandon
Chicago.
Dunes would be so cool.
Oh, really
if it's in
sick.
Chicago, then maybe there is a duck game that ties into that if it is in Chicago.
What year would that be?
It's every 4 years.
Yeah.
So every 2 years it happens, but it switches location. So in 2 years it'll happen in Europe, and then in 2 years it'll be back in the States. So it won't happen again in America for 4 more years.
You imagine if it's like an Ohio State?
No, it's Hazeltine up in Minnesota.
So it's a
in
Big Ten country.
And
could
then,
be going to a Gopher game, eh?
Oh, wow.
I've told you guys before.
Go see the Gophers.
The Gopher Stadium's sick.
I'll go row that boat.
Downtown
2033,
Minneapolis.
2033, it's actually going to be on the West Coast, the Olympic Club in San Francisco.
That's pretty cool.
Too bad they don't play Cal anymore.
No, we don't have any West Coast. Well, I see UCLA, but it's LA.
Well, maybe get
that's
a late.
Maybe my Giants will be in the World Series race.
Maybe get a late non-conference game. Maybe go down and kick crap out of Stanford or something.
Please don't ever schedule them in non-conference. I never want to play Stanford again for the rest
well,
of my life.
It's never 8 years
again.
Away.
Never again. Never
so
again. Never again.
Two head
some
coaches.
Some things I'm happy died, and having to play Stanford is something I'm happy that died.
I'd argue Cal's also in that for you, too. Cal and Stanford were always weird for you.
A bit of a thorn in the side,
so
for sure.
We're going to Ireland for the next one, that's
yeah,
the road one,
which is
and
gonna be
then
incredible.
To Barcelona in 2031.
All right,
Barcelona.
If we continue on this road, we're going to end up doing a full segment on this. I did want to play this quickly. Was this worth an apology? So after the Apple Cup, this happened. Jimmy Rogers, head coach of the Cougs. I love saying that, by the way. Jimmy Rogers.
Jimmy Rogers.
Just a fun name. He basically came out with a quote that was like, it's hard to compete with a roster that's $30 million. Hmm. He did the Mike Gundy. He did the pocket watch after the game. And then after the dust settled on a Monday, he went to his press conference leading into this week's game, and he said this.
You know, if there's one thing I regret from Saturday, it's the comments in here. Nobody brought me in here to make excuses about things that we don't have. And I see a soundbite. Everything's a soundbite about my comments that I made. They brought me in here to help create a winning program. I need to do that and keep my mindset on that and not complain about things that in the moment, I don't control. I control the attitude of this football team, and we got to get ready to play our best football. It's easy to make excuses, and everything that I've said to the team, I've become hypocritical on what I say when I say things like that. And so, I more than anything, I probably apologize to the Cougs fans and the administration as far as you know that even coming out of my mouth, because nobody cares. And I've said it before, nobody's going to save us right now. We got to save ourselves. We got to commit to the process. We got to compete. We got to find a certain level of focus and passion to step on the field with and compete. And we're not going to stop trying, I can promise you that. And play with a certain level of grit to keep us in games and then try to close people out in the fourth quarter. What we don't have is an excuse on why we played the way we did. We had the opportunity to win a game. We didn't. And we need to learn from it, grow from it. Let it sting because it's stung, and we gotta get better.
Apology necessary?
Kept thinking a Kermit meme, just yeah, like typewriter going crazy. apology necessary? I don't think so, but that's a breath of fresh air of a coach going, I shouldn't have said that publicly.
Yeah.
Now, is coaches like him everywhere around the country thinking it? I think coaches at Power 4 programs are thinking
like, he's
this.
Not wrong. He said, well, like, this is a little bit different than Oklahoma State, who's a Power 4 program who was built largely over the last 20 years on the back of a major booster. You're at Washington State, you've been left behind, and there's no big money rolling
like,
in
you don't think
all.
PJ Fleck is facing Ohio State, Michigan, and Oregon going, damn, dude, must be nice to have, like, 15 yeah. extra million dollars to pay
right.
to these student-athletes.
Right.
And that's the thing, is, like, we give these coaches a lot of credit. I've said this before. I think the ones doing it right are also the ones who have good coaches, certainly great coaches. They also have their NIL collective and their S together in this era. And if you have that lined up, plus you've got great coaching, sky's the limit for you. If you have good coaching, great coaching, but NIL, you're going to struggle. You just are. I think Dabo and Clemson are a great example of this. They don't have everything lined up. I don't mind him coming out and saying, like, you know, $30 million against us when you don't really know the price tag. I also appreciate, I shouldn't say that publicly. I should worry about myself, building our program the way we need to build it, and go from there. I think that is a very mature response by him. I don't think you owe the athletic department an apology personally, but I think that was class stuff by Jimmy Rogers to acknowledge. I shouldn't be doing that or saying that stuff publicly.
And the immediate aftermath of the game, where you're clearly pissed, you were right there in the third quarter, and then the game gets out of hand, and you're lashing out a little bit. Every time I listen to him, I have no clue how the future is going to go at Washington State, and maybe their circumstances are the ultimate deciding factor in what their future is going to look like. But every time I do listen to him, I come away impressed with just his character. I think he's done a decent job early in his first year there, and I'm excited to see where he takes
outside of that Saturday quote. Do you feel like you're hearing a lot of complaining?
No, not at all.
I'm hearing complaining of one of the other Pac-12 teams. I don't hear a lot out of the other one.
Kind of pull yourself up by your bootstraps and let's figure out a way forward in this thing, man. Let's get to Adam Rittenberg of ESPN. His thoughts on the big Oregon-Penn State game, the awesome slate in college football. Adam Rittenberg is next with the Daily Ticker.
In this wide world of sports, some stories can slip through the cracks.
Now, before we do this, let's go over the ground rules.
Pelican Brewing presents the Daily Ticker, where Dirt and Sprague hit the big stories you've heard about and some you haven't.
How'd you do that? I'm not even mad. It's amazing.
Pelican invites you to take a beach break at one of their coastal locations. Pacific City, Tillamook, Cannon Beach, Lincoln City, and coming soon to Rockaway Beach. Pelican Brewing, born at the beach.
All right, Daily Ticker time on a Tuesday, brought to you as always by our great friends at Pelican Brewing Company. Their Hard Hops presents today's Daily Ticker. Discover Hard Hops, Blackberry Hop Infused Hard Seltzer, and experience your hops differently. I believe we have resolved our YouTube issues, according to Jason Swigart. That's what he's telling me. We'll see if we can get back up and running. Apologies to anybody watching on there. Let's talk about the big game of the weekend with our good friend Adam Rittenberg of ESPN. At ESPN Rittenberg on Twitter, senior college football writer for ESPN. Adam, good morning to you. The thing that you can kind of blanket say about so many teams in college football is they haven't played anybody, and that's certainly true in Oregon and Penn State. What do you make of the two teams and how they're kind of heading into this big matchup against each other?
Yeah, good to be with you guys. I think, again, we probably know a little bit more about Oregon than Penn State, but there's a lot of unknowns. I think there's two quarterbacks who certainly have the potential to be in the mix for big-time awards, and you know, Dante Moore has been really impressive to me so far. But again, haven't seen defenses nearly as talented as the ones on either side that will be there. Again, Penn State, the big story is, you know, can they win the big game? And that's been the issue for James Franklin. What I point out in a lot of those losses is, you know, has he had the better team? And I think in most cases he hasn't. I think a lot of people would look at this matchup, given where it's being played, the experience level on both teams, and probably give Penn State a little bit of an edge. But, you know, they've got to get it done. And Oregon has certainly won, you know, some big games under Dan Lanning. They're not going to be intimidated going into State College. But we'll find out a lot about both of these teams. And the good thing is it's not an elimination game, and there'll be other opportunities for even the team that comes up short on Saturday night.
Adam Rittenberg thinks what of Oregon if they go into Penn State and win?
Well, I think that they're then possibly the team to beat in the Big Ten again. You know, because they got eliminated so early in the playoff, people forgot what they did during the regular season, which was beat Ohio State and win the Big Ten and go undefeated. And if they were to win this game, there wouldn't be a more impressive win anywhere in the country this year. You know, LSU's win at Clemson has been invalidated given what's gone on with Clemson lately. Notre Dame Miami has a nice win over Notre Dame, but that was at home and Notre Dame lost the second game. So I don't think there would be a better win in college football than if the Ducks can go into State College because of who's on this Penn State team. Like, yeah, Penn State may not turn out to be a great team. We don't know yet, but look at who's at quarterback. Look at who their coaching staff is. Look at their star power on the defensive side of the ball. So this would really change how a lot of us are viewing this Oregon team nationally and say, hey, they're not just a team that can get back to the playoff. They're a team that can make a run, unlike last year, and certainly contend for the national championship.
Is there one or two things that you're looking for in this game, whether it be a weakness or a strength or a matchup, just one or two identifiers that you're trying to point out and say this might end up deciding the outcome of it?
Well, I think Oregon's offensive line being able to protect Dante is critical, because this is a very, very good defensive front for Penn State. Even though Abdul Carter's no longer there, he's in the NFL, obviously. Deny Dennis Sutton, anyone who watched the college football playoff was noticing Deny Dennis Sutton as much or more than Abdul Carter. So, you know, having him, Zane Durant, one of the better interior linemen in college football, you know, getting Zariah Fisher healthy, it seems like going into this game. So that's a pretty full strength defensive line with a coordinator in Jim Knowles, who certainly has faced Oregon a couple of times. Last year once didn't go well for him. The second time it went extremely well for him. So I think that matchup, the Jim Knowles, Will Stein matchup, but also just the Penn State defensive front against Oregon's offensive line, which again was a signature position group under Mario Cristobal and has been a signature position group under Dan Lanning as well.
Another big one up north here in the Pacific Northwest is going to be Ohio State coming to Seattle. Huskies haven't fared rather well against number one ranked teams, but it's a big opportunity coming off a 59-point Apple Cup win. High-powered offense with some questions on defense. What are you expecting to see from Jed Fish and the Huskies year two hosting an Ohio State team coming in number one?
Well, I expect to see points. I mean, you know, Ohio State, we saw what they did against Texas, obviously, in the opening game. But Texas has had some problems after that point. And not to say that Ohio State isn't a good defense. I think they're a very good defense. This is a much better offense, at least from what I can tell, that they're facing, especially on the road this week. You know, in talking with Jed Fish in the preseason, Jimmy Doherty, their offensive coordinator, I know there's a lot of optimism about what they can be offensively. And you'd be hard-pressed to find a better triple threat right now around the country than Damon Williams Jr., Jonah Coleman, who, again, people need to realize how good he is and what he can be for Washington this year, and then Denzel Boston at receiver. I know they have other receivers that can attack. So this will be a really good opportunity to see just how good this Ohio State defense with Matt Patricia leading the way can be on the road. I do think Ohio State is going to score the ball, though. I think Washington's defense has had a few too many hiccups early in the year to give me a lot of confidence that they're going to shut down Jeremiah Smith and Carnell Tate and Max Clair and Julian Sayin. I think this is a big game for Julian Sayin on the road as a freshman, essentially, going into Husky Stadium. Tough environment, but I think he'll have opportunities to attack this Washington defense. So wouldn't shock me, guys, if this game got into the 30s. Even though Ohio State has been very stingy in terms of allowing points so far, they just haven't seen a complete offense yet like the one Washington has.
Yeah, not to mention being on the road. That's a big part of it. Adam Rittenberg, our guest, senior college football writer for ESPN, at ESPN_Rittenberg on Twitter. You can go give him a follow there. When you look around the country, I guess what's the biggest surprise to you? Like, I'll throw three different things at you. The implosion of Oklahoma State and what has transpired there, maybe seeming like the writing's on the wall, it's over. Luke Fickell has been a disaster at Wisconsin, and their fans were yelling to fire him throughout the entire game as they get smoked at home by Maryland.
Good time to give an extension.
And then the Dabo thing. Like, how do we avoid the Dabo elephant in the room? Like, what do you make of some of these disastrous starts for respected or once respected head coaches?
Well, if you're asking who's most surprising, it's the Dabo thing, because, you know, they were set up as a team that a lot of us thought was a clear favorite in the ACC after winning that conference, kind of a backdoor conference win last year, but they still did it. And you looked at what they had coming back on the defensive line, a quarterback, at receiver, in some of the positions that they've traditionally been strong. And yeah, it's been a meltdown. I mean, that performance against Syracuse, there was nothing fluky about it. They were humbled on their home field, and I think that's why you saw the reaction from Dabo, and even yesterday, still trying to climb out of a place he hasn't been in a long time as a head coach. You know, the other two situations, I covered Oklahoma State's regular season finale at Colorado last year, and it was one of the worst games I've ever watched. Colorado didn't even play well, and they won 52-0. I mean, I think they were sacked. Shadur was sacked like 7 or 8 times. It didn't matter because Oklahoma State had just given up, and it was just a brutal watch. Anyway, so that was my mistake for going to that game. But I guess my point is I'm not shocked that Oklahoma State is still trying to figure it out, and it probably will result in new leadership there. I think that's the athletic department as a whole that's looking for a pivot and that pivot will likely come here in the next few weeks or months. So, and then in Wisconsin, yeah, it's just, you know, we all thought that Luke Fickell was going to be that hire to take Wisconsin from the land of very good to elite. And it's been just the opposite. And part of that is, you know, a string of quarterback injuries that they continue to have with Billy Edwards Jr. now, the latest. Part of it was a bad decision to try to go to the air raid his first 2 years. And that just isn't going to work at Wisconsin. And they're paying the price for that. And also the league has gotten tougher. And you know, they were a team in the Big Ten West. And you know, sometimes you didn't have to play Ohio State or Michigan, but you also never had to worry about Oregon or Washington or USC or any of these other teams. So it's just been a combination of factors that has put Wisconsin, you know, really in its most vulnerable position in a generation. They haven't been this down as a program in a very long time.
I'm putting you a little against it here, and I should have texted this to you when I reached out to see if you could hop on, but my co-host has his dirty poll, his top 12 teams of college football, since his nickname is Dirt. I'm curious if we can get Rittenberg's top 12 rankings. Who would your top 12 teams in college football, if you were to try to guess the 12 best teams in the sport that'll eventually get to the playoff, who would Adam Rittenberg put on that list?
Oh, so we're doing playoff or we're just doing top 12 anywhere?
Yeah, because those are different because then you got group of five included and conference champions and all that.
Let's exclude the Memphises and the Tulanes for now. Who would your top 12 teams be?
Okay. Yeah, so you know we do a power ranking, so I can try to throw this together every week. So I think my latest power ranking, I don't know if I'm getting this completely right, but it was Ohio State 1. I think I actually went Georgia 2, Miami 3, but you could make a case for Miami being 2. And then Georgia. And then I, you know, certainly then that's that, then there's that group with Penn State and Oregon and Oklahoma. I like Oklahoma. I still don't think that they're elite, but they made a major stride this year, with Ben Arbuckle and Don Mateer coming in from Washington State. I think Florida State, Texas A&M, Indiana, I think what Indiana did last week and I witnessed it was remarkable. So it was like at us to 10. I think Texas Tech, I just talked with Joey McGuire this morning. He's really excited about, you know, his team. And then, you know, at 12, I think you could probably go Ole Miss. I'm just not sold on Texas, guys. I think that the issues at Texas go beyond Arch. I just don't think that their receivers are elite. I don't know if they're as good at running back as they were last year. They're awesome on defense. And if some of those other position groups can catch up a little bit, they should be fine. But I'm just not ready to put them, you know, into that top 12 just yet. And if I didn't say A&M, I would put them, you know, certainly in that mix too.
So your elite is Ohio State, Georgia, Miami, and then there's the next tier that Oregon is involved in.
Well, part of that's that those teams have all had better competition today. And that's not Oregon's fault. I guess you could say it's Penn State's fault because they didn't schedule anybody. But we just don't know what they are at this stage. You know, whereas LSU, for what it's worth, has wins over Clemson and Florida. Obviously, Miami has looked really good. And their win over Notre Dame, I think, will get better and better. And then Texas, and then Ohio State has the win over Texas. But, you know, shoot, if Oregon goes in and beats Penn State on the road, or if Penn State is dominant against Oregon, I think that both of those teams have a chance to rise in whatever the next ranking is.
Yeah, great stuff. Adam Rittenberg, senior college football writer for ESPN. Give him a follow on Twitter, at ESPN Rittenberg. Enjoy maybe the best college football Saturday we've had in a long time. It's a great slate from start to finish. Thanks as always for the time in Portland, and let's do this again soon.
All right, guys. Appreciate you. Thanks.
There you go. Adam Rittenberg of ESPN.
Yeah, he started out with a ranking for me, and then it faded fast. He got to 4, and he just lumped teams together. I'm like, damn, dude.
Gave you 1, 2, 3. And then there's like that group of this teams, and then these teams, and then those teams. Yeah. And then, yeah, Ole Miss is one that's kind of flying under the radar. Big opportunity for them this weekend. Daily Ticker brought to you once again by our wonderful friends at Pelican Brewing Company. Their Hard Hops presents today's Daily Ticker. Discover Hard Hops Blackberry Hop Infused Hard Seltzer and experience your hops differently. Let's talk about one of those teams that I asked him about, including a former coach ranting about the fan base. And this metric may be meaning more than it ever has. We'll get to those next on 105.1 FM, The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio.
T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah, you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, welcome back in, 8:52. Happy Tuesday morning, everybody. It's going to be a short segment. Something just got reported that we should talk about in the final hour.
Your hatred is so funny.
Live strong over
here. One is, you're in their head, and I know that based on somebody here.
Yeah.
But also, you just can't quit them either.
Oh, no, I love it. I love hating them. Yeah. Can't wait to whoop their ass in a couple of months. How would you feel if you had a former coach hanging around your program, constantly chiming in on how things were going? Mike Riley doing nothing but radio interviews, talking about Oregon State football and criticizing fans. That make you feel a little weird?
Yeah, because it'd be way out of his nature. I think that's a tough example.
Right. Mike Riley's not a good example. Touché.
I think Bilotti would actually Bilotti. Be more of a...
Bilotti's sitting around doing an interview after Oregon loses the Rose Bowl, like, hey, what the hell are we doing here?
Still fans. Drawing his purse.
Well, yeah, that he is.
He got the mustache. He's
can
still
we
no
cut
mustache.
That off? Is that cut-offable? Can we? No? Okay.
I dare you to say that to his face.
I mean...
His mustache will whoop your ass.
That is true. His mustache would definitely whoop my ass. Here is a former coach...
Who would win in a fight, Bilotti's mustache or dirt?
Ooh, I think I'd take Bilotti's mustache.
I would too.
Minus 105.
Yeah.
It works out way more than I work out.
Yeah.
Barry Alvarez, just hanging around Wisconsin. Guy just lounging around. The best part about it is not only is he still in the athletic department, he is also...
he's like a shadow
doing
coach.
Interviews.
Well,
and here he is on ESPN Madison Radio after the fans wanted Luke Fickell to be fired this weekend.
Coach, what do you make of how fans have reacted here
I think
so
it's
far?
Embarrassing. I think it's terrible, despicable. They're spoiled rotten. Here's a team that...
Sucks.
You got young players trying to come on. And they're competing. They're going to have a chance to get better. And you flip on them. Early in the season, and you flip on them, and you're
terrible.
Chanting for the coach.
Shut up.
What do you think that... Makes how do you think that makes the players feel?
Who cares? They're paid.
Exactly. And that's
a great
just,
point, coach.
That's
a
great
that's
point,
just,
coach.
That's disrespectful. It's not loyal. You're not a fan.
Not a fan.
Paid to get in the building.
That person
fan.
Sitting next to me, boom, I tell him, get your ass out of here.
I paid.
We don't need you in here. You don't.
Yeah,
you don't
want
to watch this.
Yeah.
Go someplace else.
No,
go
I don't.
Go in a bar. You know, I just, that really upsets me.
I cannot stand this guy. I've not liked him for so long. And I'll be honest with you, if I was a diehard Wisconsin fan, thank you for your services. Could you just shut up and disappear?
Maybe the reason Big Ten football, or excuse me, Wisconsin football is in a bad spot is because they let this guy hang on and make all their calls. And he's running coaches out of town.
Yes.
And then the one time he hires a guy who's been in, like, Paul Chris wasn't terrible. Gary Anderson won games. I know that's not a great name in this neck of the woods, but he
went
9 games in 11. He was going there for 2 years. Paul Chris went to a Rose Bowl.
Yep.
Like, he had decent. He went to an Orange Bowl.
And
he went to a Cotton
good
Bowl.
For him.
Wasn't good enough for him. Luke Fickell's been a disaster. And you decide to die on this hill.
Yep.
They played Maryland at home on Saturday morning. Nobody watched, and they were down 20-0 at halftime.
And that freshman quarterback from Maryland lit them up.
Lit them up. And there was maybe 5,000 people in the stands at the start of the fourth quarter. And that is one of the most proud fan bases that exist. Jump around's one of the best traditions.
Yep.
They have died as a fan base because of Luke Fickell. And this guy's doing interviews saying, you're an idiot.
I would also. So I know people haven't followed it, and we don't need to spend a lot of time on 2-2 Wisconsin.
No, we don't.
I watched their Miami-Ohio game a little bit. They took forever to score in that game against Miami-Ohio.
They might win 3 games this year.
The MTSU game, they ended up winning by 32. That was another game that took them a minute to get going in that one.
Yep.
They're not a good team.
Nope.
They're awful. It's one of the worst hires. It's a bad cultural fit. It's a terrible system brought to the wrong place. And the funniest part, you know why he's being like this? They signed Luke Fickell to a 1-year extension in February that made his contract drag out to 2032. They're stuck.
They're stuck.
They're getting TV money. It doesn't matter.
Nope.
These programs don't want to buy out coaches for these crazy prices anymore. And I think he knows how stupid this was to give a guy who accomplished nothing at Wisconsin another extension on a contract. I just, fans and citizens and us the people, man, we speak how we feel. And if we want to boo you and tell you you're terrible, shove it, Alvarez. Maybe you should be looking at the problem, and the problem is on the sideline, not in the stands.
Also, have the hardest schedule remaining in all of college football, so have fun with that the rest of the way. Of Wisconsin going 3-9 this year. We got a lot to get to in the final hour of the show. Mail sack coming up at 9:15. Get your questions into the fan text line, 503-864-6326. We'll start with some media news that I find interesting. Is this a smart move or a dumb move? And then also the metric that maybe should be the most important in this sport. Start the final hour with our next 105.1 FM, The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.